We may stop a few minutes early today as the choir will be practicing, so we're going to have a mass exodus at 2:30. Well, mass exodus is probably a little exaggeration, but anyway, the choir members will be leaving at 2:30 for a final rehearsal. Now, we haven't been meeting for a while because a lot of things have happened. It was 1 week that we got stranded in Broome, couldn't get back. It was not that we didn't want to get back, but they just closed the airport. They said you need an extra day's rest, so we'll just close the airport. So the Lord allowed that to happen. And then the week after that, we were in Esperance. We had a wonderful time there. You can read about the Esperance trip in today's church bulletin. Our brother S.K. has written a report on that. And then we also have a little write-up by Elder Joshua Lim on Easter. And Elder and Mrs. Joshua Lim should be with us today in the worship service. And then last week, instead of having a study in Genesis, we watched the DVD on Shepherding a Child's Heart. So it's been at least 3 weeks since we've been considering the book of Genesis together. So we are at chapter 30, and maybe it's well to again remember what is going on here. Of course, we're talking about the life of Jacob. So if you look at the patriarchs, the fathers there, we have Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, those four. And we have already looked at Abraham, starting in chapter 12, and then we went on to Isaac. Isaac doesn't have an awful lot written about him. And then we come to Jacob. And then, of course, Jacob, one of his sons, will talk about Joseph. When we get to that, there's quite a few chapters dealing with Joseph. But we're talking about Jacob, and we have, of course, the fact already talked about in the previous chapter that Jacob ends up marrying two ladies, Leah as well as Rachel. So he wanted to marry Rachel, but his father-in-law put a fast trick on him and switched Rachel, and he ended up with Leah instead. All right, we talked about those different things there. And we observed also in verse 31 of the previous chapter that when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. And Leah altogether had four sons. And she said, now will I praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah and left bearing. All right, Judah, of course, meaning praise. So it is from here on then that we come to chapter 30, which we did already start on. And it begins by saying, when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, give me children or else I die. And that's a rather unreasonable request on her part. And, you know, Jacob wasn't very happy about that. Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel. He said, am I in God's stead, who has withheld from thee the fruit of the womb? So remember, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward, as we read in the book of Psalms. Well, it is then that Rachel, there is dived to resort to the expedient that had also been followed by Sarah many years earlier, and that is of having a child or a maid. Of course, it would have been much better if they would have prayed about this together and if they would have trusted God to answer in his own good time and will. And that's something that is well for us to remember when things don't go the way we want them to go. You know, there is that tendency, well, I want to do something, but it's good to wait upon the Lord and wait upon his timing, because the Lord does all things well. At any rate, we know that he does marry Bilhah, and he has two children by her. So Bilhah conceived, bare Jacob a son, verse 6. So, and Rachel said, God has judged me and has also heard my voice and has given me a son. Therefore called she his name Dan. Dan meaning justice. So any name with Dan, Daniel, you know, all have the idea of justice or judge in there. Daniel means God is my judge. All right, so that is one. And so first one is called Dan then, justice, testifying through his name that God had heard her prayer and justified her in her husband's sight. And then Bilhah's Rachel's maid conceived again and bare Jacob a second son. And this one is named Naphtali. And that's a rather unusual name. It means wrestling. And this is a reference to her long-continued rivalry with her sister. She felt she had now finally prevailed in this rivalry, wrestling with her sister, you know, about having children. And so that Jacob would be fully restored in his love for her instead of Leah. So, you know, what we see then, four children with Leah. Now Rachel says, hold on a moment, what about me? So I don't have children by my handmaid, by my servant girl. So he does. And, you know, like I say, should have waited upon the Lord in this case again. But now what happens, Leah starts to get jealous. You know, I don't have any more children. Now your maidservant has some. So why don't we get my maidservant involved as well? You know, you can have some children by her too. So it really becomes a pretty messy situation there, as you can see. Verse 9, when Leah saw that she had left bearing, she took Zilpah, her maid, and gave her Jacob to wife. And so we see that then. So Leah was not yet ready to accept the defeat in some ways. I've had children, but, you know, if Rachel can have children with her servant girl, I can do the same thing. So she herself had stopped bearing. Leah had stopped bearing. She also had a maid. She reasoned that what had worked for Rachel would work for her also. So she prevailed upon Jacob to take Zilpah, her maid, that she might have additional children by her. And so Zilpah, Leah's maid, had two sons in quick succession. Verse 10, Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a son. And Leah said, a troop cometh. And she called his name Gad. All right, and then Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a second son. And Leah said, happy am I, for the daughters will call me blessed. And she called his name Asher. So two names there, Gad and Asher. Gad means fortunate, and Asher means happy. So she considered herself fortunate or happy that God had given her a son by her maid, and happy for the second son by her maid. So now we got 4, 2, 2. So now we got 8. So at this point then, Jacob has 8 sons. Notice, nothing is said about any daughters at this point. All right, so 4, 2, 2. So now the situation changes, or, you know, you can look different coming in here, because we see the birth of 2 more sons and a daughter of Jacob to Leah. So, you know, the question has been asked sometimes, at this stage, having 8 children, how old would the oldest one have been? You know, and a lot depends on some of the details which we don't know. You know, she had 4 children. Then after the 4, did, you know, Rachel have 2 by Bilhah? And after those 2, then did, you know, Leah have 2 more by Zilpah? You know, were these 8 in a row? How many years were or months were there between the children being born? So the question is sometimes asked is, at this stage, how old would the oldest one be, Reuben? And some of the estimates as low as 7 years, which seems rather low, 7 years for 8 children under the circumstances. 10 has been mentioned, 12. You know, we don't know exactly how old Reuben was at this point. And I mention Reuben because he comes into the picture. Because Reuben went in the days of wheat harvest and found mandrakes in the field and brought them unto his mother Leah. So Reuben at least is old enough to be in the field by himself. So he wasn't too young. You know, definitely was not 6 or 5. Obviously not, you know, with Rachel, with Leah at least having 4 children at this point. So maybe he was 10, maybe he was 12, maybe he was 14. We really don't know exactly. That's interesting also that we're told this was the days of wheat harvest. But there is no indication in the Bible that Laban was a wheat farmer. So, you know, we have no indication to that. The only thing we have about Laban is his flocks. So that's what's mentioned, but never mentioned that he was a wheat farmer. But at least we know that the event that happens now is during the time of the wheat harvest. And we're told that Reuben discovered some mandrakes in the field. He recognized them as a fruit. He picked them and brought them home to his mother. Yeah. Now you may wonder, what are mandrakes? You know, you go to the supermarket today, you see apples and oranges and what have you. But I haven't seen any mandrakes lately. I tried to find out more about mandrakes, and there's actually very little written about them. Even if you go Google them, you know, you don't find a whole lot on mandrakes. But this is one description, and I quote, "The mandrake is a small orange-colored berry-like fruit." So small, it's orange-colored, it's berry-like. So berries generally would be quite small. So that would indicate to me that they would be quite small. But here is the key in our understanding this passage. They were much esteemed in ancient times as an aphrodisiac and inducer of fertility. And that's where the key comes in understanding what is happening next. An aphrodisiac and an inducer of fertility. It was no doubt because of its supposed value in promoting fertility that both Leah and Rachel desired it. Leah had 4 children, but no more. She wants some more, so she is happy if she can get hold of those mandrakes. On the other hand, Rachel hasn't any children, and she wants these mandrakes as well. You see how some of these superstitions still come in? You know? Because it's really a superstition. All right? Okay? So that's why Rachel's, the last part of verse 14, Rachel said to Leah, "Give me, I pray thee, of thy son's mandrakes. I want them because I want children." You know, that's what she's asking for. Well, you know, obviously, Leah's not very happy about this because she wants the children herself. She said unto her, all right, "Is it a small matter that thou hast taken my husband, and wouldest thou take away my son's mandrakes also?" You know, so here you have it. You say, I was the first one to be married to Jacob. Now you want to take away my husband? Remember, I was married to him first. So you see the two women kind of going after each other here. You know, quite an interesting, that's why I say it's a real messy family situation that develops here. And now you want to take my way the mandrakes? I want the mandrakes myself because I want more children. Of course, you know, so you see all this going on. But notice what Rachel says. "Therefore he shall lie with thee tonight for thy son's mandrakes." All right? So if you give me the mandrakes, I'll let you sleep with him tonight. You know, what a messy situation. All right. So Rachel badly wanted the mandrakes, acquired them from Leah by making a deal with her. She agreed that Jacob sleep with Leah that night, no doubt hoping that later, when she would be with Jacob, the mandrakes would enable her to become pregnant. Well, you know, Leah doesn't let any grass grow over there. As soon as Jacob comes out of the field in the evening, Leah went out to meet him. She ran. It's almost pictured in your mind that she ran out and said, "Hey, husband, come, I've got some news for you." Leah went out to meet him and said, "Thou must come in unto me, for surely I have hired thee with my son's mandrakes." So, you know, what a mess. You know, what an explanation here. So Leah eagerly met Jacob that evening, explained the bargain that she had made with Rachel, and Jacob slept with Leah that night, and she conceived and bare a son, even though she didn't eat any mandrakes. All right? Mandrakes has nothing to do with it. We know that. All right? So, but that's what happens. So, God hearkened unto Leah for 17. She conceived to bear Jacob the fifth son. All right? She had four already. So now the fifth one. And Leah said, "God has given me my hire because I've given my maiden to my husband." And she called his name Issachar. All right? This means reward. Reward. God has rewarded me. You know, and I have another child. And soon after this, she had another child. Verse 19. Leah conceived again and bare Jacob the sixth son. And that one she named Zebulun. That means dwelling. A testimony of God's gracious gift to her, assuring her that her husband now would be willing to dwell with her. And then finally, we have a daughter. Alright? And afterwards she bare a daughter and called her name Dinah. So we have a daughter there also, Leah. Now, we'll see Dinah later on again, alright? So because an incident happens involving Dinah, not a very good incident, and then it's again one of these messy situations that develops. Well, now we have 10 children, alright? So Leah had 4, 2 later, 6, her servant girl had 2, and Rachel's servant girl has 2, so we have 10. So now, God remembers Rachel. Verse 22. And God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened to her, and opened her womb. So finally, and we can say after many years, the Lord answered to Rachel's prayers, and she also conceived. Now, I'm sure you realize that this was not due to the mandrakes. Alright? They had, in any case, been eaten several years earlier. So, you know, they had nothing to do with it. But it was due all to the power of God. Okay, and that's one thing that we keep reminding ourselves of. The children are a heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is His reward. All right, so that's a good verse to remember there. So, and when she had her son, she chose for the name Joseph. And she conceived, verse 23, and bare a son. And God has taken away my reproach, she said. And she called his name Joseph and said, "The Lord shall add to me another son." Now, the name she chose for her son, Joseph, can be derived from 2 possible roots in the Hebrew. One, that is a root taken away, or to take away. And the other root, that it is from adding. The Hebrew word yasef means to add. Alright, so taking away, well, God has taken away my reproach. So that is one possibility. But then, the Lord shall add to me another son, so that is also possible. So, it might indicate both her thanksgiving and her faith. Her thanksgiving that God has taken away her reproach, and then also her thanksgiving that God had given, or that her faith that God would give her yet another son, which of course eventually he did in the person of Benjamin, as we know. So now the Lord has given her one child. So now we're up to 11 boys and one girl. So we still have one son to go later on. All right. So at this point, we are now changing, see a change in the whole scenery here, because at this point now, Jacob wants to leave Laban. All right. So, and even as this develops, we see again Laban looking out for number one, looking out for himself, and not really being very concerned about Jacob. It came to pass, verse 25, Rachel had borne Joseph, that Jacob said unto Laban, send me away, that I may go unto my own place and to my own country. So Jacob now had a large family. I think we can agree with that. 11 sons and one daughter. He has 12 children. So certainly a large family. And his work. We also know that he had worked. Remember, 7 years for Leah, 7 years for Rachel. So he had been serving for 14 years now. So this time had actually been very good for Laban, because Laban had become very prosperous during this time. Now, we don't know how wealthy Laban was before Jacob joined them, but we do know that during these 14 years, God had really blessed Laban, and Laban actually does admit that, you know, and that he realizes God had blessed him with Jacob's helping there. But as far as Jacob is concerned, all right, what has he gotten out of these 14 years? Besides four women and a dozen children. You know, he hasn't gotten a house, you know. Well, probably live in tents anyway. You know, he didn't have any flocks of himself, because everything belonged to Laban. So he had been working for Laban, but remember, his wages were Leah and Rachel. 7 years, 7 years. So he'd been working 14 years to get two wives. Well, he got two concubines besides. You know, he got Zilpah and Bilhah as well. Zilpah and Bilhah as well. But, you know, he didn't have anything really that he could call his own. So that's why he says, send me away that I may go into my own place, to my own country, give me my wives and my children for whom I have served thee, and let me go, for thou knowest my service which I have done for thee. And that service had been good service. So, you know, we have no indication again, but because the Bible is silent on it, but there was no postal system back then. There was no emails or telephone calls. So it is very possible that during these 14 years that Jacob heard nothing from his family. You know, think about that. You know, today, of course, you go away and you call each other and, yeah, I've arrived safely, you know, and everything is going fine. But back then, you know, Jacob didn't send any letters back by, you know, Mesopotamian post or Mesopotamian mail or what have you. You know, there was no such thing. So it would seem, or at least that the Bible account doesn't indicate, apparently then he had heard nothing from his family, so he becomes increasingly restless, dissatisfied with his current situation. He just wants to find out what's going on with my parents, what's going on with the family, what's happening there. So he therefore now announces to Laban, he goes to Laban and tells him, I want to return home, and I want to take my wives and my children with me. And he reminds Laban also that he has more than lived up to his part of the bargain, so that Laban really has no further claim on him or his family. You know, I've served you for 14 years. That was 7 years, 7 years. Then I have done all that. So give me my wife. They're mine. They're my children. You know, I have served you for them. That was my wages, as it were, for them. But Laban did not really want Jacob to leave. He realized that he had gotten a good worker there. As I indicated already, we don't know how wealthy he was before this, but at this point he had become very wealthy, prospered greatly because of Jacob's abilities, because of Jacob's faithfulness, Jacob's hard work, and Laban was willing to make almost any kind of bargain that would keep Jacob working for him. And if you look at verse 27, Laban said unto Jacob, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry, stay, don't leave. For I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for thy sake. So he admits that God had blessed him through Jacob being there. All right? So Laban acknowledged that the Lord was with Jacob, as it was of the Lord that he had profited so much through Jacob. So it is at that point then that Jacob says, you know, I want you to stay. Appoint, interesting word in verse 28, appoint me thy wages, and I will give it. So, you know, name your wages. You know, you tell me how much you want to be paid, I'll pay it. Because I know God has blessed me through you, so I'm very happy if you will continue to work for me, you know, and I will give you whatever, you know, wages that you want to ask. And it is then that, as an answer, Jacob gives his testimony. He said unto him, thou knowest how I have served thee and how thy cattle was with me. You know how I served you? Well, he's simply reminding him of all the work that he has done. For it was little which thou hadst before I came. Now we know that he had flocks. We know that. Because when Jacob was at the well, there came Rachel with the flocks. So we know that he had some flocks. But Jacob here points out it was little, and it is now increased unto a multitude. And the Lord has blessed thee since my coming. And now, when shall I provide for my own house also? So he's saying, what about my own family? You know, I have wives, I have children, I got to look after them. So he is simply giving a personal testimony about him working there, that he has done what he should do, and how the Lord had worked, and how the Lord was blessed. So it was reasonable that Jacob, having fulfilled, all right, so there we have our mass exodus, so we'll probably stop shortly after this, so that rather than having about half of the leaving, because being Easter, we can expect extra visitors to come anyway. So it was reasonable for Jacob should now begin to provide for his own family. You know, that's what he says. Then shall I provide for my own house also? So it is then that Laban asked again, well, what shall I give you? What shall I pay you? So verse 31. And he said, what shall I give thee? And notice the interesting reply from Jacob. Thou shalt not give me anything. Alright. Of course, there is something else to follow that. But it says, don't give me anything. Alright. But if thou wilt do this thing for me, I will again feed and keep thy flock. Alright, don't give me anything. But if you will agree to my proposal, alright, I'll be happy to continue to look after your flocks. I will pass through all thy flock today, removing from thence all the speckled and spotted cattle, and all the brown cattle among the sheep, and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and of such shall be my ire. Now there is a little bit of a difference of opinion among some of the commentators. Some of the commentators say that at this point he goes through the flock, and all those that he mentions he takes out. Other commentators say he doesn't take anything at this point, because he had said, I won't take anything, thou shalt not give me anything. But from now on, any of these that will be born, I will take as wages. Really doesn't make a whole lot of difference, ultimately, because these are all the exceptions. All right. So he's not asking for a great deal. So he says, the speckled and spotted cattle, the brown cattle. Well, today we have brown cows, we have black cows, black and white cows. Those of you that are farmers know more about this than I do. But we do have a lot of different things there. You've got your Holstein, you got your Jersey, you got your Friesian, and I don't know what all kinds of cows there are. But there's a lot of different cows. And we, of course, often joke, with the children. See, there's a brown cow. That's where you get chocolate milk from. The black cows, that gives you the white milk. But the brown cows give you the chocolate milk. Obviously not, But we sometimes like to tease the children that way. No, I don't believe you. So they're smart enough to know. But it was apparent that at that time, the cows were all black. There was no brown. So he's asking for something that you really don't see. The same with the sheep. The sheep, well, I know the wool can be dirty, but generally speaking, they'll be light colored. But he's asking for anything that is brown. Well, yeah, you do have some brown sheep, but they're the exception rather than the rule. So what he's asking for, Laban said, of course, yeah, be happy for you to do that. Because he knows that what Jacob is asking for is the exception rather than the rule. So he says, Jacob, you're not going to get very much. So this is all to my advantage. Now he doesn't say that, but that's what really it is. Because that's one thing about Laban. He looked out for himself. That's one thing. So anyway, this is the way the situation here develops. It's probably a pretty good time to stop. But, when you look again at Laban's flock, Jacob says, it was small, it was little, what thou had before I came, and it is now increased unto a multitude. So a relatively small number of animals had become a great number under Jacob's care. The blessing, of course, had indeed come from the Lord, from Jehovah. But notice also that Jacob had done his part. Jacob had been faithful. Jacob had been hardworking, industrious. So what you see here is the two things working together. Human responsibility and God's sovereignty. So that's what you see working together here. Human responsibility. Jacob worked. He worked hard. We know that. Because later on, when eventually he does leave after, six more years, Laban kept changing his wages. Because, brown cows are for me, for Jacob. Well, then there were a lot of brown cows. So Laban kept changing. Hey, you're getting too many for the change. So that's what happens. But Jacob worked hard. So God blessed, but we also see Jacob's hard work. And that's something we need to realize too. We need both. We see God at work, but we have to do our part. So we can't just sit back and say, God will do it, God will do it, God will do it. I was one time told, here in Australia that it is wrong to invite people to come to church.
It's wrong to invite people to come to church. If God wants people to come to church, all we have to do is to make sure the door is wide open on Sunday and God will bring the people to come in.
Well, I don't agree with that. Alright? We have human responsibility as well. Jesus says, go out into the highways and the byways, you know, and compel them to come in. So Jesus himself indicates that we must do our share. But here too, you see that. Jacob did his part of the work. And God did his part. And so God blessed Laban for Jacob's sake. And then, as Jacob starts to work for Laban, God blesses Jacob. And, well, he becomes a very wealthy man. Well, let's stop here for today. And we'll continue next week. This is not a bad time to stop opening all this up. I'm not sure how many extra people we will have today because of Easter, but we can expect certainly some extra.